Part of the Catechism is a beautiful summary of the Christian faith. A Catechism is a question and answer statement of the Christian faith. And the Catechism, where we're reading from in the Catechism, it's the middle section of the Heidelberg Catechism. First you get the section on man's misery, then you get the second section on how we are delivered, our deliverance from our misery, and then you get a final section on how we ought to express our gratitude to God for such a great deliverance and salvation. And the Catechism explains our deliverance from sin by working its way through the various articles of the Apostles' Creed. So there are these three sections. In my Catechism classes, I explain that you can remember this easily by three G's: guilt, grace, gratitude, or three S's: sin, salvation, service. So it's an easy way to remember it. So here we are in the deliverance or the salvation section. And in question answer 56, the Catechism asks, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? I believe that God, because of Christ's atonement, will never hold against me any of my sins, nor my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. Rather, in his grace, God grants me the righteousness of Christ to free me forever from judgment. And I'd like us to look at this subject of God's forgiveness as we turn to our Bibles and we read from Psalm 51. I'll read the whole psalm, but my text are the verses 6 to 9. And I'll read the introduction to the psalm, or the ascription at the beginning of the psalm. For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. David writes, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And my text are the verses 6 through to 9. Might be helpful if you keep your Bibles open at that passage. Most of us have had times when we have felt very hot and dirty and or very sweaty. Maybe you've done some very thorough spring cleaning in your house and you've had a whole day of that, or you've been out working in the garden, or you've been on a construction site for work, or you've been doing a very physical day outside. And at the end of the day, the thing that you feel that you need most of all is to sit in a hot, clean bath, or to have a good shower. Now, to be clean is not only a physical need that we have, but it's also a spiritual need that we need as well. We need a cleansing of our souls, because through the law of God we become aware of our sin. The law of God acts for us like a mirror. So you look into the mirror and you see what you look like. And the law of God shows us, highlights for us our own sin, our impurity before God, highlights the things that we have done that are wrong and the things that we have left undone that we should have done. We realize as we read the law of God that we have missed the mark, that we have gone astray like lost sheep, that we haven't reached the perfection of the standard of God's law for our lives. And so the Holy Spirit uses the law of God to convict us of sin. Now, the beginning of this psalm introduces the context of the psalm. So, Psalm of King David. King David had sinned against God by coveting a beautiful woman who was not his wife, even though David had many wives already. He had committed adultery with this woman, Bathsheba, and then he had furthered his sin by murdering the husband of this woman, Uriah the Hittite, in an effort to try and cover over his sin. And David had kept these sins hidden for over a year. And then the prophet Nathan came to him and confronted him with his sin. And David was convicted that he had sinned against the Lord and against these other people. And David knew the truth of the proverb, "Whoever conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." And having concealed his sin for this long, David then went openly and freely to God and confessed his sins to God. And he wrote this psalm. And this psalm has been used by God's people ever since David wrote it and since it was written down as our own expression of our own sins. And we've sung part of the psalm just before reading the psalm. So here is a prayer of confession, and this morning I'd like us to reflect on and also to pray these particular words in verses 6 to 9, confessing our own sins before God. And the first thing that I want us to notice here is that we need to pray for truth in our hearts. We probably all know that it's very easy for us to come to church dressed up in our Sunday clothes and for us to look good on the outside, but actually people don't realize everything that's going on the inside. And David tried to keep up a good appearance on the outside, carrying on as usual as the king of Israel. But he was hiding something. He was concealing his sin. He was covering things up. And Jesus condemned the Pharisees for doing just this. Read a few verses out of Matthew 23. He said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You look like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And we can be like this. We can look good on the outside, but actually on the inside we are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And if that is the case, then we need to recognize the truth of verse 6. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. You see, God wants us to be clean on the inside. He wants us to be truthful and honest and pure in our inner parts. And David recognized that he had been foolish in what he had done. His sin had not only been evil, but it had also been foolish. And he knew that God wanted him to be wise in the inmost place. And the inmost place here refers to our hearts, the center or the core of our being. And you and I need a change of heart that only God can bring about through that powerful and irresistible work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, so that the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. The word that the Bible uses for that is regeneration, or a new birth. Jesus said, unless you have been born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So that's the first thing that I want us to see, that we ought to pray for truth in our hearts. The second thing we need to pray for is in verse 7, we need to pray for cleansing from sin. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Almost all of this psalm is an example of Hebrew parallelism. So Hebrew poetry is written in parallel lines, and so you get one line, cleanse me with hyssop. And then you get another line that states the same truth again, but in slightly different words. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Sometimes the parallel line offers a contrast, but it often offers a same statement of the truth, but in slightly different words. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. This is actually a reference to the purification rituals that the people of Israel practiced in the Old Testament. So, for instance, an Israelite would touch a dead body or come into contact with a dead body. And according to the laws that God gave the people of Israel, that would make this person ritually unclean. He couldn't go into the tabernacle or into the temple. And so he would have to go to the priest, and the priest would carry out a certain ritual in order to make him clean. And the priest would do that by taking a branch of hyssop, which was a leaf that had quite a lot of hairs on the leaf, which would hold water, and then the priest would dip that into a mixture of water and other substances, and then he would sprinkle water on that person as a symbol that that person was now clean, and he could re-enter the presence of God and go into the temple. Now, David wanted to be cleansed with hyssop. He wanted to be purified, but he knew that purification was not just something external, but it had to be inward, and it had to be moral. And of course, these rituals of the Old Testament pointed forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus was going to do as he died on the cross, making it possible for all of us to be purified from our sin. And this is what we remember this morning in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. We remember that it's only through the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus that we can be cleansed completely from our sin. On the inside. You may be like David, aware of your own sins, aware of your own failures against God. You may be aware of the things that you have done that are wrong, and the things that you have left undone that you should have done, the sins of omission. And when you go to God and you confess your sins to God, then God assures you that you are cleansed, that you are washed, that you are clean. And so David goes on and he says, "Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." There's a variety of ads on TV about various laundry powders and how their miraculous cleaning properties. So you get one that amuses me is this one where you get all these little boys coming in and they've been out playing rugby on a very muddy day, and there's been plenty of mud out on the fields lately with all this rain that we've been having through the country. And so these boys come in and they are unbelievably filthy. And their mother smiles at them very graciously, as only mothers on TV can do in circumstances like that, and then takes all their clothes and throws them into the washing machine, holding up the amazing powder that she'll be putting into the machine, and hey presto, out these clothes come beautifully white and clean. Now, King David had never heard of all these soap powders that we have, and King David, as the king of Israel, probably never ever washed his own clothes anyway, but he knew that he needed a cleansing. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. And he knew that only God could bring about that cleansing. That's why he prayed this prayer to God. Now, you're hearing sermons from the prophecies of Jeremiah at the present time. Jeremiah told the people of Judah, this is chapter 2, verse 22, "Although you wash yourself with soda and use an abundance of soap, the stain of your guilt is still with me." We can wash our clothes and our bodies, but we cannot wash our souls. Only God can do that. Only God can make us clean on the inside, and God promises to do that if we ask him. "Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." I'm a South Islander by birth and by most of my life, but when we were living on the South Island, a friend of mine and I went, and it was sort of towards winter. We went and did a tramp to the first hut on the St. James Walkway. St. James Walkway is in the Lewis Pass area, which is sort of central South Island. And on the night before we set out, it had snowed. And we went into the walkway and into the river valley, and the entire river valley was covered with a fresh blanket of snow. Was one of the most beautiful sights that I've ever seen. And we were the first ones across that track on that morning. So we were the first footprints through the snow. And there's nothing fresher than the sight of a freshly fallen falling of snow. I don't know how much snow David saw in Palestine, but he must have seen some up on the high mountains. And he prayed, "Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." And God can cleanse you and me like this as well. Though your sins, Isaiah 1 verse 18, "Though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they'll be like wool." And again, God does this through his Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, we read about the saints who are in heaven. And it was said about them, "They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." It sounds a bit like a contradiction. How can you make things white in blood? But it's a picture of the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus and the cleansing power of his death on the cross. So pray for truth in your heart. Pray for cleansing for sin. And then thirdly, pray for the joy of the Lord. Verse 8, "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. David not only wanted the forgiveness of his sins, but he also prayed for gladness. He prayed for joy in the Lord. During the past year, David had felt terribly weighed down by his sin because he had covered it over. And we've all had times, and children have times like this too, where you know you've done something wrong and you haven't said anything to your mum or dad about that, and you feel guilty and you don't feel right. And we all have that at times where we've sat on something. And David had sat on this for a year. He knew that he had sinned against God, against his new wife, Bathsheba, and against Uriah, and against the people of Israel, because he had sinned as the king of Israel. And he felt as though his strength had been sapped as in the heat of summer. He wrote in Psalm 32 that he said, "My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." He felt as though God had crushed his bones because of the guilt of his sin. Now he confesses his sins. And as he confessed his sins, he wanted to find once again his joy in the Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and he said to them, "Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." And our joy as Christians is to be found in our relationship with the Lord Jesus and in the knowledge that our sins have been washed away. And if you confess your sins, you will find pardon from the Lord. God says, "I will forgive their sins and remember their iniquities no more." And that is what gives us joy. So this is the promise of the Word of God. And this is the visible, physical assurance that comes to us through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So pray for truth in your heart. Pray for cleansing from sin. Pray for joy in the Lord. And finally, pray for removal of your sin. Verse 9. "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity." One of the characteristics or attributes of God is that God is omniscient, which means that God can see everything. God is all-seeing. God can see everything, including all of our sins. Sins that nobody else can see, things, sins that we have in our minds or in our hearts, God can see them. Psalm 90 verse 8, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." And so David comes to God knowing that, and he says, "Hide your face from my sins." He asks God not to look at his sins any longer. He asks God to hide them from his view. And when you confess your sins to God and you are open to God about that, then that's what God does. God forgives your sins and he removes them away and he doesn't look at them any longer. "And blot out my iniquity," David says. In the ancient Near East, the kings of the ancient world would keep a record of the things that had happened in their reign. Certain events, things that people had done, would all be written down in scrolls and then stored away and indexed somehow so that they could find them back. King Xerxes one day couldn't sleep, and sometimes when we can't sleep, we pull out a boring book, hoping that it might send us to sleep. King Xerxes called for a scroll of the history of his reign. And found out the good thing that Mordecai had done so that he could reward him. Now, the writers, King David is thinking of God as having a book. David knew that God doesn't actually write anything down. God has it all in his mind. He doesn't need to write anything down. But David pictures in his mind that God has a book, and everything that David has done has been written down, all of his sins. And he prays to God, blot out my iniquities. Remove them from your book. Rub them out. Pour ink over them. Cross them all out so that they can't be read or deciphered anymore. Remove all of these sins. Gordon MacDonald, in one of his books, retells the story of John the Baptist, who was out by the Jordan River baptizing people. And Gordon MacDonald imagines some smart management types rolling up to try and help John the Baptist get things a little bit more organized. And they set up some tables, get labels, pull out their pens or their stylus or their quills or whatever they were using in those days. And they have name tags and labels, and they get people to queue up. And they bring people up to the table, and they say, so what is your name? My name is Mary. Mary, label, name tag. And Mary, what is your sin? Well, I have to confess that I gossiped about another woman in the synagogue. Okay, gossiper, take this label, stand over there. Next, Zechariah. And what is your sin? I committed adultery. Adulterer. Take this label, stand over there. Next, Matthew. And what is your sin? I stole some money. Thief. Take this label, stand over there. And so it went on. And then Gordon MacDonald pictures Jesus going around the crowd, taking all these labels and gathering them to himself, and then going into the Jordan River and washing away all of these sins off all of these labels. Blot out my iniquity. What is your particular sin? Pride, anger, addiction of some sort, adultery, envy, jealousy, a lack of contentment, irritability, rebellion against God, covetousness. God can blot out your iniquity. God can remove your sin. And God can do that because Jesus came into this world as God's Son, being both God and man. And Jesus took our sins on himself. Didn't make Jesus a sinner, but Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree, on that cross. And again, that's what we're remembering in the Lord's Supper this morning, that picture of Jesus cancelling the debt of our sin. Charles Wesley describes that beautifully in one of our hymns in our hymn book. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus can wash away all your iniquity, cleansing you from your sin, blotting out those sins so that God hides his face from your sins, allowing you once again to hear joy and gladness? Through faith in Jesus and through the promises of the Bible, you can know the joy and gladness of having your sins washed away so that you can be whiter than snow. Amen. Let's bow to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this beautiful psalm that David wrote from the depths of his own conviction of sin. And we're thankful that this has been one of the most powerful confessions of sin that have been used by your people all through the ages since then. And we're thankful that we can use these words today to confess our own sins before you. And we're thankful for that cleansing power of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And we're thankful that we have the privilege of being able to remember this together in a celebration of the Lord's Supper today. And we do pray that you'll help us to focus our minds and our hearts and our bodies on the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.